Power is a curious thing. Who lives? Who dies? Power resides where men believe it resides. It's a trick, a shadow on the wall.
SpecFicMedia.com presents Beyond the Wall, a Game of Thrones podcast. With hosts E.G. Holyfield, Christiana Ellis, Chooch, Viv, and Nuchus.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 0 of SpecFic Media presents Beyond the Wall, Game of Thrones podcast. And for those of you that weren't with us with Season 1, we'll do a little bit of introductions here before we get into the preview of Season 2. I am PG Holyfield. I am podcast author, published author, and I guess the managing editor, whatever you would like to call it, for specficmedia.com. And this currently is my only podcast, but I love it, and I'm glad to be back. And Christiana, why don't you go next?
What am I doing? Just introducing
You're
myself.
Introducing, right? Introducing yourself.
Don't you make me it. Edit.
Pimp it.
Hi, I'm Christiana. I do stuff. Sometimes I talk about it. I have all my podcasts are at ChristianaEllis.com, including talking about stuff, talking about Survivor, watching 100 movies, and my fiction projects, Space Casey and Nina Kimberly the Merciless.
Woohoo! Nutty.
Ta-da!
Hello, I am Nuchas, also known as Nutty because it's easier to say and spell. And I am the host of the Nutty Bites podcast. And I run a blog over at nimlast.org/blog and am currently in the middle of a yearly project I do every March, Daily Creativity. It's a new art project, new art piece every single day, posted up there on that blog. And yeah, that's me.
Awesome. Viv, Vivid Muse.
Yeah, hi. I do the End of the Blender podcast with my husband, Chooch, who's also on the line. And I do Girls Rules podcast, which is all female voices that we haven't done in a long time. And I have a blog at vividmuse.com. And I have a small business, Vivid Muse Creations, that does, right now we're swinging into business for Balticon, button creation, custom button creations, and that's all I got.
Okay, and lastly, but never leastly, Chooches.
Hi, I'm Chooch Schubert. I am on End of the Blender with Viv, and I'm the bass player for alternative rock band Ditched by Kate.
I guess I should have mentioned that I hear lots of noise.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Not it.
That's a little dog that's playing a little with a plastic thing. Bottle.
That's our sixth host, which would be Luna.
Resident Corgi. Luna the
Corgi. But
let me take care of that real quick. We'll be right back.
Because I did want to mention, since you mentioned Ditch by Kate, I also host the online virtual
convention.
What do you call it? Convention, I guess. Yes, called Chewbacca-Con. We've done that the last 2 years. We've had live readings from various authors around the planet, and our musical guest of honor this past year in November was Ditch by Kate, and that was a lot of fun.
Woohoo!
Might as well mention now that looking forward to, since that was that the last time you were here, or were you here after that? But whether or not it was the last time, Chooch and Viv are coming up or down to Charlotte next weekend to watch the premiere of Game of Thrones Season 2, so I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so let's get into Season 2. Since we stopped podcasting, of course, we had the Emmy Awards, which Peter Dinklage won. Was there any other awards from Golden Globes and other things that Game of Thrones won for?
I think Peter Dinklage won everything for Game of Thrones. They were nominated lots, but I think he's the one that just won everything.
Yeah, that's what
he wins it life.
Yes.
And he got on the cover of GQ. That was awesome.
There's an awesome picture in that spread of him sitting on a chair with a girl across his lap that's just hilarious and sexy at the same time.
And he had a baby.
Did he? That's amazing.
Yeah. He in his Oscar speech, I think it was his Oscar speech or one of his other speeches. I don't watch the award shows. I just watched the video of his acceptance. He said that it was his first time leaving his baby with the babysitter.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
So we had the awards season, which they, you know, certainly for us, for a fantasy show did, just the nominations were great, but actually, winning awards at certain things were, was amazing. And certainly have been watching the lead in for season two. Wanted to talk, I know some people may not have, watched everything. I know, Nutty, you were talking about your views on watching some of the lead-ins.
The special features behind the scenes.
Right. The two main, I'm sure there's stuff on the website, different things, but the two main things that I've been watching are the things that have been on HBO Go, and then the stuff that's on HBO On Demand. They may show different things actually on HBO that I haven't seen, but on HBO Go, they had a couple cool things for people that may be gearing up and haven't seen these things. A couple that are worth seeing. There's one called Fights and Stunts, where it's like a little 5-minute thing, just talking about some of the stunt work that's going on. I feel a little vindicated because some people gave me a hard time last year about my complaints about the lack of battles and things in the series because of money, and they didn't know if they were going to be picked up for a second season, so they had to save money every chance I got. So I sort of felt vindicated where I heard like at least every 10 minutes and things. And for everybody that was disappointed, there's lots of fighting and lots of battles. So that was nice to hear.
I just found the awards page on Wikipedia, and one of them was Screen Actors Guild Award for Outstanding Performance by a Stunt Ensemble.
Ooh, there you go.
That's very specific.
That's it. But another of the special things there on HBO Go was an invitation to the set, which may have been on HBO On Demand as well. They just had scenes from different locations, different things. But my favorite shot in that, there's a shot of Jamie, and it's just, not in a scene, just sort of standing there. And this woman walks up to him, and she's wearing a Jane hat. And it just made me laugh. So, wearing
a Jane cap. That's awesome.
There was a little very, 2-minute thing on Renly's armor, which I do really like his crown.
Yeah.
You've seen his crown with the antlers. It's a little more, it's different than like what Robert had with his antlers and his crown. I really like what Renly has there. And I love that they kept saying that his armor has flair. It made me think of Office Space, like there was
pieces of flair.
Yes.
If you want to be a king, you have to have at least 5 pieces of flair.
That's just a minimum.
Yeah.
Don't just grab them randomly out of the bowl. You have to pick ones that have meaning to you.
There is a trailer, which is probably everywhere, called the Seven Devils trailer.
Which has great.
The song from Florence and the Machine.
They showed that on the big screen at the theater when I went to see Hunger Games.
Yes, I saw that there too. And a couple of things from there, just a couple of lines. You have a cool line with Jamie and Robb Stark where, Jamie says, three victories don't make you a conqueror. And, Rob said, well, that's better than 3 defeats, which is good. And that's first.
Oh, snap.
And
he told you.
We'll get a little more into new characters, but they have a couple, little clips with Melisandre, the Red Priestess. And that looked very cool in there. There was a 20 minute, if someone wants to, and it's pretty cool because it's, even though it's sort of a, introduction to season two, it's actually more for people, I think, that didn't watch a lot of season one or completely missed it. It's called You Win or You Die, and it's, you know, the creators and different actors talking about what happened in season one and the different things that that happened and how that plays into season two. And the only thing I really have to say about that is that Emilia Clarke as Brunette may be one of the hottest women in the world. So, anybody that hasn't seen that, please check that out. Is there anybody that has seen anything online or, you know, in the previews that they noticed or wanted to mention?
I was just going to say that I've been avoiding the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I've seen the trailer itself for season two, much drool and excitement over that, but I've avoided the behind-the-scenes stuff like I usually do. I don't want stuff spoiled.
I've seen a little bit here and there. I've not been actively seeking it out, but, you know, when they announced casting choices, I always checked everyone out just a little bit, but I did watch that that special they showed on HBO before the season finale of Luck, that little half hour thing, and that was pretty good. But mostly, I've been, you know, not deliberately seeking it out. I've been, you know, letting the anticipation build.
Mm-hmm. I've been like everyone else, when they announce casting, I of course follow that. I will say that when one of the people were cast and they showed her picture, I was upset because I said she's way too pretty to play the character. And then when we later saw her in her makeup and all done up, I said, okay, she looks perfect. So, you know, much like any of my hesitations about the first season for casting, it seems to me from what I've read that they're making sure that A, the people they cast can act the role.
Right.
And that's the most important thing. And then they make them fit the role physically, which is really nice. The Huffington Post had like 100 screenshots, you know, character shots, publicity shots from season two that were really interesting. And I enjoyed going through those. But I'm trying to avoid the behind the scenes stuff because, as I was saying before we started the call, I feel like with everything, with The Dark Knight Rises, Hunger Games, Game of Thrones, everything, we're getting so many videos, so many pictures, so much information that it's an oversaturation. And by the time something comes out, I'm less excited about it. And I've seen half of it. Like, I really don't care about seeing The Dark Knight Rises right now because I've just seen so many things. So I'm trying to avoid stuff. So I watched the trailer. And I've looked at the character shots and just read Martin's blog, and that's about it.
Right.
I didn't read the second book, so I've I know the trailer was on, and I didn't even really watch it. So I'm just going in completely blind because I don't want to see what, you know, characters are coming. I don't really know who they are. So
this could be a little spoiler, but there's these kings and they clash.
Oh. So I did read the first book and watched the first season. Of course, we talked about it on the podcast. But so from two on, I have no clue what's going to happen.
Okay. So you've decided to continue the trend of not reading the book until after the season is over and then read the book, correct?
Yeah, you've all read them a million times. So so I'll have that, just not knowing
anything once.
just for our new listeners that may be joining in, they'll know that that Chooch is the virgin.
Finally!
And I'm trying really hard not to take advantage of that fact. No, you know, I find myself after, because we just mainlined season one this weekend, and I found myself working really hard not to make comment on characters that I know stuff happens to in later books. It's tempting.
Yes. You just, whenever you want to say something, you just say, you know nothing, Jon Snow, and move on.
That's good.
I did.
It's better than I'll tell you when I return, because he gets that a lot, and it never works out.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, my God, if I ever say that, don't let me leave the room.
The very next time I see you, I will tell you all of life's mysteries.
Yeah.
Everything you were wondering about, next time.
I did want to mention that for those, because we did have a couple comments on the website, we had a friend of mine, Matt Lynch, who who has not read the book, and he watched and wrote a series, response to each episode after the episode from the point of view of someone who hasn't read the book, called The Eye of Noob, and he will be continuing that this season.
Oh, good.
And I'm hoping to get him actually on the show at least once or twice during the season, so that you can hear his, because he's a funny guy and very, very, has a lot of great views on the show, and would be great to have him.
And it's a great blog series that he does. It's really good, and I've actually had people comment on The Eye of the Noob to me completely separately.
Awesome.
Yes, I will let him know that he's yeah. I've been telling him for years he needs to write that novel that he's been working on, and he has a great sense of humor and good perspective on this as well, and so hopefully we'll have him on during the season. So that was that. One of the things we just that you brought up that I didn't mention during our little pre-show thing where we were talking about what to talk about was the Blu-rays, since Viv mentioned that, or DVDs rather, for some people. I have the Blu-rays. I know Nutty, you do, and Christiana as well, correct?
Yes.
Was there anything that stands out for people that are thinking about whether they need the Blu-ray or just the DVD? Was there anything that was Blu-ray related that impressed you, or?
Well, I would just like to say that the transfer looks incredible. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I have a TV that does 1080p, and I mean, it's going to look great no matter how you watch it, because it's a great looking show. But even when I watch, like, I can watch the episodes on HBO on demand, or I can watch them on my computer with HBO Go or whatever. But getting the full Blu-ray treatment on my TV, just, it looks objectively better, and it is just, it's amazing looking. And so just, there's something to be said for the Blu-rays just right there. But also there's a lot of really great commentaries and special features and stuff.
Yeah, yes. That was one thing with the I would agree with the how it looks. I mean, especially the first episode where you have the wall and those things. I mean, because I watched the episodes last year in HD or on my TV, and it looks so much better on the Blu-ray that it was pretty amazing. That was like, wow. So that was definitely there. You were going to say something, somebody.
I was just agreeing that I thought that it was much better. And if I can kind of go off on a tangent a little bit, still relating to the Blu-rays, I don't know if it's on the DVDs or not, but the animations that they did, if you were looking at the extra content, telling the history of the Game of Thrones world, I thought were amazingly well done. And they were narrated by different actors from the series. Right. So the actor that played Viserys did one, and he was talking primarily about his family history. And it just added an extra level of depth and texture and richness to it, having it be him read it as opposed to someone else. And I really enjoyed those. I enjoyed those as much as I think, I don't know if you guys remember from the movie 8, I can't remember if it was the first or second part, where in Harry Potter, in the final movies, they did the thing where they were talking about the Beetlebard and the Horcrux and all of that, and they had a little animation of that. And I thought that it was like that. It was that good that I would love to see a whole series in that style for the game, for the world.
Right. Christian, talk a little bit about the little pop-in stuff, because we were talking about that earlier. I thought you had a really good point about that.
Yeah, so I think the way that those are presented, you can watch them, completely separately in any order you want. But one of the ways that you can watch the episodes on this set is you can do it with this in-episode guide, where it has this little unobtrusive sidebar thing that's on the screen while you're watching. And what it does for every scene is you can just pop it open, and it'll show you with a picture and a little profile, like, these are all the characters who are currently in this scene. So like, if you're saying, who is that guy? You can pull it open. And it's like, oh, okay, that's Theon. And
exactly. I was thinking of too.
Yeah. And then it has, you can also see like, where is this scene taking place? And it'll show you a little map. And then it will also occasionally pop up with these little things where, it's like, you know, King Robert just talked about how he went to war because Rhaegar kidnapped Lyanna. What the hell is he talking about? So it pulls up this little thing. This is the story of Robert's Rebellion. And it's not just by the actor. They're actually reading it in character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. So it's like Robert telling the story of, in his words, why he went to war.
Right.
And then later on, you might get Robert's Rebellion from the Lannisters' point of view. Mm-hmm. And then you might get Robert's Rebellion from the Targaryen point of view. And then it has all of these different things that I can't help but think. I mean, I loved them just anyway, but I know a lot of this history because mm-hmm. I have read the books. And so I couldn't help thinking that for someone who hadn't read the books, that would fill in the gaps of a lot of backstory that it seems like I can only imagine that they would really appreciate that because, you know, obviously the show doesn't have time to go into all that detail all the time.
Right.
And so giving a little bit of that backstory of, you know, okay, when people talk about the Field of Fire, what the hell are they talking about? Although technically I'm not sure if they actually refer to that specifically in the series, but... Right. But the point is that it has lots of that history and it talks mm-hmm. about, you know, has sections on the Age of Heroes and what's the difference between the Seven and the Old Gods and all that sort of thing where just this, the world building stuff that the show has to kind of gloss over just in order to keep the plot moving along. But it just fills in a lot of those gaps and it, you know, it was very entertaining for me even as someone who knew it. But I can only imagine it would be very helpful for someone who's watching without having read the books.
Right. I agree.
One other thing that you noticed and I did after you told me was that once you get to about episode 6, they start repeating and
yeah,
and, you know, I mean, obviously there's only so much they can do for the 10 episodes. A couple of things I wanted to mention as far as commentary, the, you know, some of the commentary is great. One of the things that was funny overall, it was sort of a waste of commentary, was, I don't know if it's episode 2 or 3, but it had the three of the kids doing the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Bran and Sansa and Arya, and just the first like 2 minutes where they're actually all three singing the theme song or humming it or whatever, that was, you know, priceless for that. But then, you know, most of their actual commentary was more about, you know, that oh, so nice to work with them, and oh, they're so much nicer than the character in the show. And yeah. Then they you know, they and then poor little Bran was like, oh, I never got to meet him. You know,
yeah.
So he's stuck in, you know, because
he's stuck in bed all the time.
Exactly. So
yeah, but he got to he got talked over a lot by them. They didn't let him say very much.
Another thing that was actually for someone that hasn't watched a lot of the HBO stuff, the, you know, extra features on HBO, it would probably be very good. But a lot of, they had the one episodes, it was episode 6 where they did like a, you know, a breakdown of the episode, and they had a lot of pop-ups and different things going on while the actual episode was going on. Probably 75% of that was stuff that was on HBO during season 1 where they were talking about certain things. So, but someone who hasn't seen that stuff, it was definitely a good, I mean, they just broke down each scene and what was going on and some of the background and a lot of pop-up video and different things. It was really cool.
Right on.
Yeah. We had some annoyances with the set too.
Like,
well, one Viv and I were both thinking, she was the first to verbalize it, the episode that George R. R. Martin himself does the commentary for, the one that he wrote, the pointy end, and he kept saying things that this wasn't in the draft. I don't know why they did that. I'll have to ask the director.
Yeah, it was.
And just kept thinking, well, it would have been really cool if the director was with him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
Answer these questions. Awesome.
That would have been absolutely fascinating to hear him say, well, I don't know why this was done. And then for somebody to say, oh, because of this. And it was more like he was pointing out that there was a lack there, than it was distracting to have him constantly point out where it would have been something cool to know.
Overall, it was fascinating.
Absolutely.
Hear his take on the changes that he made, think sacrifices you have to make, not sacrifices, but changes you have to do. Bringing something to screen, and some of the comments of, you know, ultra fanboys and saying, you know, people, the purists will call it out for this and this, but I don't agree.
Yes.
So
he probably recorded it at his home Yeah. Which is in Arizona, and that's probably why he didn't have the director. So far as I know, he only meets with them in person, like very few, and because of his book tour, he probably wasn't able to. But possibly next time, since he won't have a book coming out, maybe they can do something like that. That would be neat.
Yeah, they won't have to worry about that season four, season five?
Season 11. You mean a book coming out? Yeah.
Right. The other annoyance for me with kind of technical is that, you know, it's five discs, but it has the same menus on every disc. So when you go to like special features, it says insert disc five.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, okay. So all the special stuff must just be on disc five. So I waited till we watched the whole thing. Then I tried some of the special features and it said insert disc three. Mm. Like, these are Blu-rays. Blu-rays have like 60 or 80 gigs of space.
There's two
episodes on each disc and they're only 3 gigs each.
This is the first time I'm hearing these comments.
That was an annoyance, but a minor annoyance because the content is so good.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I've ever really gone through like and played with extras on a DVD. Right. I rarely, I can count on one hand the number of times I've done that in the past. And I can tell you that right now that there are still things that I want to go back and re-explore. I want to watch all of those animations and just really delve into it more than I had time to do before we recorded this.
Yeah, and they dropped the price to like $35 on Amazon before it came out. So, I mean, it's definitely a big recommendation, even if you saw the series and you're not the type of person that, you know, buys the, you know, season sets. It's definitely a lot of stuff in there that you would get a lot out of if you get it. So
I have one question.
Yes.
Because I have my Blu-ray set, but I haven't watched it because I have not returned home yet that has my Blu-ray player. Does the set have digital versions on it also, or you need to use your Blu-ray player?
It looks like it's just Blu-ray.
Yes.
No digital Blu-ray. Copy.
Yeah. Mm. Just curious about that because I know some of the Blu-rays have those things. But for me, I wasn't planning on buying it because usually the HBO series are so expensive. I was going to wait till the price dropped. And when I saw it was down to $35, I snatched it up. I mean, I've never seen an HBO series go for so cheap.
That quickly.
Yeah. And it's something that is... It's something that I'll be watching. After we wrapped up last season... I was moving from one province to another and I had all of the Game of Thrones on my DVR. So when we moved, we were going to lose all of those episodes. So we invited a bunch of people over and we did a marathon in a day and watched every single episode. It was awesome, but it took a long time. And the best part was I was watching it with, a youth pastor, and so a lot of the scenes she was like covering her eyes, but she loved it, so I was very happy about that. So it is something that I would invite people over to watch with me.
And you were pulling down her hand, saying, "No, watch."
No, it was like, watch "I'll let you know like... when there's no more penis."
Hodor.
Penis?
Yeah.
Hung like Hodor.
Hodor indeed.
Christian's actually online on Skype right now.
God, if we could only pull him in.
Probably. Would be rude to bug him. Hey, we're recording a podcast. Come say something.
If I wasn't dropping every 10 minutes, I would suggest that.
Yeah, you'd invite him. We'd lose the audio, and he'd say, "I'm never talking to those people again."
No, I don't want any technical problems. Anyway, anybody else have any other comments about the Blu-ray?
I just really, for some reason, was picking up different performances differently on the rewatch than I did the first time. And I was just like really taken aback because we watched a marathon of it, but before we recorded the last episode, last season of the Beyond the Wall podcast. But even so, I still found some amazing things like old Nan telling Bran horror stories about White Walkers and that it was, you know, just the little comments that they gave that were foreshadowing of things to come. And there was one that triggered, what was the scene of Bran watching the beheading in the first scene, and kind of like the dual-edged performance of the actress that plays Catelyn, as Ned says that he has to grow up, he'll be a man soon. And that actually triggered Chooch remembering his favorite movie moment ever on film from Lord of the Rings. And it just like, it was cool to watch it in a different, completely different environment and in a different format than we watched the first time and even the second time. And I just really enjoy the performances. They just are so rich. And, you know, I think, I don't know why it seems different than watching it off the DVR, but it definitely pulled a different layer into it for me.
I kind of had that experience.
Sorry.
I kind of had that experience too. Not so much with the performances, but I noticed like the establishing shots where it would be like a long shot of King's Landing and the Red Keep before the scene or something like that. I found myself noticing those a lot more.
As did I. Nettie, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, it could just be the time away from the series. You know, you had watched a marathon, but it hadn't been that long after for initially seeing the series. And because it's been several months now, you're looking at it with a bit of distance, so you're able to pick up more things.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to watch my Blu-rays.
You will enjoy them. Couple of things that I just forgot I wanted to bring up about the preview stuff. One of the cool things about season two, where we talked last season a little bit about things looking maybe a little fake, and again the money. I mean, they've gone all out. They filmed all the North of the Wall stuff in Iceland, and they filmed a lot in Malta and Croatia. So they've definitely upped their game and spent the money in those respects. You know, this won't apply to Chooch, but it did want to say, you know, what characters, and this actually goes a little bit into the feedback someone had asked, you know, who are the characters that you are most looking forward to seeing this season? And I think I've already mentioned Melisandre, but probably the one that I'm most looking forward to is Davos Seaworth. You know,
Davos.
Just, other than, well, Chooch will only know characters from last season because he hasn't read book two yet.
Which is why I said Chooch can't answer this question. But but you know, who other characters that the rest of you, what kind of, you know, who are the characters you're most looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to, is it Marjorie Tyrell?
Marjorie, yes.
Just because I suspect that they're going to be beefing up her character even more than she really was even in the book, just to sort of set her up.
Yeah, just from the previews, and this isn't a spoiler, you know, she definitely has more to do and more screen time than I would, you know, of course, book, not screen time, but, you know, just from what they're showing that she's going to be, you know, they get Natalie Dormer from The Tudors, and, you know, the character seems to be a little more feature than may have been in the book.
And and of course Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, who got cast for that? I haven't seen any casting.
Her name is Gwendolyn Christie. She's a stage actress from Britain, and she definitely has the size, and when you see
her, she's a giant.
Yeah, you see her in makeup, you're going to be like, wow.
I love her character.
Nutty mentioned earlier that you saw her press pictures from, you know, her stage work or whatever. You're like, wow, this woman's too pretty to do this. You know, she looks the part in what we've seen so far. So,
yeah. I was like, she's way too pretty. She's way too pretty. I was all angry. And then I was like, okay, this'll work. Well,
and that was something that I think was interesting to hear on the DVD during some of the commentaries. And I think that the guys that did the first one that we watched, and then George on his, certainly said that when you're actually casting, you have to put aside the physical and see if they can bring the character. Yeah. And then you try to. So the fact that Sirio is supposed to be bald, but the character is not bald in the TV show, while some of us may go, oh, you know, Fluffernutter and stuff, be complaining about it. And why aren't Danny's eyes, you know, violet? And, you know, but it's like, when you see that it was interrupting and intruding on the performances, then you can say, I can respect that decision a lot more than just not understanding why choices were made. So, I knew about the contacts for Danny before, but, you know.
I think we really need to go back and discuss the term fluffernutter.
I'm trying to keep it clean, Holyfield.
This is not a safer podcast, so we don't need to.
I was going to say, I can't wait till they introduce Roz's twin sister and they enter that brothel with a jackass and a honeycomb. And
yeah, we finally find the answer to that long-awaited story.
Well, and then, of course, for all the talk we had about Stannis last season,
yes,
he wasn't actually in the season. And so since he's obviously an important role that's been built up a lot, there's going to be a lot of a lot of weight necessary for that that role.
Where, right. If Roz makes her way to Dragonstone, I'm not going to be happy.
Now, that's another character, though, because he's being played by Stephen Delane, who I don't know if anybody saw the John Adams miniseries on HBO. He played Thomas Jefferson. And, I've seen the pictures of him, and he's another person that, didn't meet whatever my expectations in my mind of what Stannis would look like. But when you see him, it's about how does he present the character, and from what I've seen in the previews and stuff, he looks like he's going to be perfect for the role. So hopefully that will be well worth the wait. Some other characters that are being added that could be very interesting for us to see would be. They have the Greyjoys. They've talked about Balon Greyjoy anyway. Mm-hmm. There's, the lady named Rose Leslie who plays. She's in that show Downton Abbey, which everybody says is incredible.
Downton.
It is.
Which I haven't seen yet.
Downton Abbey would be a completely different show.
That would be. It's Downton Abbey.
Oh, well, I like Downton Abbey. I think that's even better.
But, I until just sort of trying to read back up on it recently, I had totally blocked out that they were changing Asha's name.
The woman, Rose Leslie, she's playing Ygritte. I don't know.
Yes, but still. But
anyway.
They changed Asha's name, and I had forgotten about that for a while, and then I remembered, and I was mad again.
Now, were you mad because they named a woman on the sea Yara, a pirate-type woman, Yara?
Oh, well, that actually had not occurred to me.
Yara!
I was really mad, and I guess I can see where they're going because we've already got Osha back over at Winterfell.
Yeah.
And, just like they changed, young Robert Arryn to Robin Arryn so it wouldn't be confusing with King Robert. So I guess I can see why they did it, but I don't know. I just felt like, this is already a pretty smart show. Yeah. Did they really think people were going to confuse those two characters?
Yes. Apparently there was a lot of confusions in the last season, after they decided to change her name. But apparently there were lots of confusions going on to the point where one fan wrote in somewhere about how Dany riding the saddle is why she miscarried or something bizarre. There are some people watching this show that just missed a lot of stuff. Right.
Write the show for stupid people?
I mean, I think from season one, the only mistake, and it wasn't, they rectified it later on as they gave him more screen time and you figure out who he was. But most people that didn't read the book would think that Theon was one of the Stark brothers.
Right.
He was Rob.
Right. And
exactly.
Yeah, I rewatched when I got the Blu-rays. I watched one from Molly and she figured when they started featuring him a little bit more and having more conversations, she said, "Oh, I thought he was, Rob Stark's brother." And I'm like, "Yeah, well, most people thought that because they didn't really explain that very well." Yeah. So.
Well, it's problematic. There's just so many characters. It's hard. But I guess I feel like, the two characters, of Asha and Osha weren't even going to be at the same location. Yeah. So it seemed unlikely to me that we would have one character explicitly identified as Theon's sister and over on the Iron Islands and doesn't cross back over. And then we've got Osha, who's still over at Winterfell. I'll get over it, but I was annoyed. It seemed like an unnecessary change to me.
And now I have to go look up who's playing that character, because that's one I haven't seen thus far. So
I saw it at one point, and I don't remember. I don't remember the details, though.
But they have Zaro Zoan Zaxos from and they have an African American man playing him, which I think is cool. I think that they definitely could have more of that in the show, so that was cool. But they also have they've shown pictures of who's playing Jaqen Hagar. Yeah, and again, just a lot of characters coming in, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. That's probably the only question, is that they're still only doing 10 episodes.
I found the casting for Asha / Yara. It is Gemma Whelan, who was in Gulliver's Travels, presumably the Jack Black one, and the Wolfman.
Presumably the Benicio del Toro one.
Yes.
Ah. Who is she in the Wolfman?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Oh, okay.
I found the article that says who they cast, and it says that she was in it.
That was a good
one. But yes, it also just briefly discusses why they probably changed her name to Yara. And I hope that despite the name change, that Yara will be just as awesome as Asha is.
Yes. Asha's great.
So we've talked about new characters, blah blah, preseason 2. So we have some feedback for people. We went out to Twitter and Facebook and asked if anybody had any questions for us. There's one that I'll let you talk about, Viv, but a couple that I had. We already talked about the new characters people were that we were looking forward to. The person who sent the question on Twitter was BA_Matthews, and she asked that question, and then she said hers are Melisandre, and then she mentioned Gendry, who was in season 1, but seeing more of Gendry.
He looks cute.
I think they're saying Gendry in this show.
That's how it's always been in my mind.
Yeah, my head has always been Gendry. So
I've always in your head. I've always thought, read it as Gendry or Gendry, and I'm listening to Clash of Kings now to try to get back and ready for the next season, and the way that Roy Dotrice pronounces it is neither. So it's completely bizarre. So,
I didn't know.
Does he do like Gondry or something like that?
Something. He pronounces everything weird, and everybody's voice is a leprechaun or a pirate. So except for Varys, who talks like this.
Oh my god. Time.
Wow.
Well, that doesn't sound appealing to me.
It's really not.
I'm out.
I know that Martin loves Roy Dotrice's reading, but I think it's terrible. Wow. And I really think that it's really bad because, like I said, everybody sounds like a pirate or a leprechaun. Mm-hmm. And if I were to do the audiobook, I would have a different person record the different point of views.
Mm.
And I would do it that way. But I just...
That's interesting.
Yeah. Or if Jim Dale did it, it'd be great. But Dotrice, no. Yeah.
Well, I did mention we did make the mistake last year of saying that Roy Dotrice was in the Game of Thrones playing Pycelle. But I did notice when I was looking at new actors and stuff that actually Roy Dotrice is going to be in episode 1 playing a minor character or a character I've never heard of. So it may be just a cameo, one line type thing.
Well, that's nice.
So, yeah. For those that care, the name of the first episode is The North Remembers.
For those of you that give a shit, the name of the episode.
Shit about the names of the damn episodes.
Nerd. Which I actually had already looked up.
Double nerd.
So again, feedback.
You're married to this nerd. Suck it.
Oh, I did want to mention things I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the possibility of seeing Rickon in the sunlight and not doing his poltergeist impression of saying creepy things and then fading into the background. So that's one thing I'm looking
forward to. I did notice more of him in the sunlight and daytime on the rewatch.
He did, especially
he's
in
episode one.
Yeah,
the first episode, he's all over the place.
But see, I'm looking forward to seeing Rickon be creepy.
I'm digging creepy Rickon.
I like Rickon.
Yeah,
there's not really anything else to his character, though. Yeah, even in the books, I mean,
not at this point, no.
Yeah.
Nope. So again, feedback. We had Nobilis write in.
Yay.
On Twitter, but his only comment going into season two is "Booyah," and he said, "Be sure to say that and to give him credit for the line." So. There you
credit
go.
Credit granted, Nobilis. You have been given that attribution.
Now, does that include a fist pump, or?
I don't know.
I don't think it is. Oops. I don't think Nobilis is really a fist pumper.
Oh, it's true. Mm.
Well, so did you say fist pump or bump? Like P with a
I
P?
I said pump,
or?
Like in the air.
Like a Jersey Shore thing.
Or like a Tiger Woods, like fist pump.
Well, I could see either is the thing, but they're different in my mind. You know what I mean? You would use each at different occasions.
After all the stories that came out of Tiger Woods, is there really a difference now between that and Jersey Shore?
Booyah! Okay, now we had...
I have a question.
Yes?
I am looking at the episode schedule, and there's an episode called Blackwater on May 27th. Mm-hmm. Can we, at some point tonight, talk about whether or not we're going to be recording that live at Balticon?
We have a panel at Balticon.
Right. And I don't know when that panel is going to be.
It depends on when that panel is. If it's Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, then we will be
screwed
doing something from, talking about the previous episode or some other thing.
We'll figure that out. Yeah, we either ask for a panel Sunday night or Monday, but not many people will be around on Monday. But I think we at least need to all watch it together.
Yeah. Blackwater, by the way, if I remember correctly, will be the one that George R. R. Martin is writing.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to
that. That's the only one after episode 5 that actually has a name attributed to it. So that makes sense. Yeah. The others are just like episode 2.6 and so on.
Yeah, they knew he was going to be writing that before he even wrote Stick 'Em with the Pointy End.
Right. So have you seen the promotional picture that says Five Kings, One Throne?
No.
No.
It makes me think Two Girls, One Cup. Do you think that was intentional?
No, I highly doubt it.
No? Just wondering.
We don't even need that for a blooper reel. It's just there. Good Lord. Anyway, what else? Oh, Viv, you said you printed out the question from, or comment from Pat.
And then I left it somewhere, but I'll read it from the screen. I think it's probably 2 feet from Chooch. Our friend Pat says, Viv, hey, emailing you so you can pick and choose what comments you want to bring up. I assume you'll cover the usual stuff like casting, the faithfulness of the adaptation, and the general attempt to capture what a reader might have imagined. He says in parentheses, they fell short visually at times, but did make a good attempt. He then goes on and says, if I can bring up any topics for discussion, I think it might be interesting to discuss where the book can... Everybody there?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I heard a weird click. I think it might be interesting to discuss where the book can longer maintain a mystery, but the TV show cannot. For example, although I've heard Martin was surprised that so few picked up on this, Renly and Loras' relationship went completely under my radar while reading the book, but the TV show made it quite clear. And that was my same experience. Anybody have a comment on that?
My only comment is that George specifically asked for them to make it obvious because he was a little surprised that people didn't get that they were a couple. He thought he made it very obvious in the books. So one of his requests was that they make it more obvious.
Right. But about his other general, you know, it might be interesting to discuss where the book can longer maintain a mystery, but the TV show can't.
Yeah, there, I mean, there are a couple, and without any sort of spoiler for book five, there is something that happens in that book, because it's the written word. You don't, you know, there's a character that is somebody else, and so because it's the written word, you don't, you know, it's a big secret until there's a big reveal.
Right.
That's something you can't do in the TV show because obviously you've seen that character before, unless they do something with makeup and different things to make it so completely different that you can't recognize the character. So in that case, talking about, you know, what Pat was saying is that it's harder to do a mystery like that, you know, on the in the TV show. And are there things that we're worried will be lost because of the, you know, video as opposed to the written word?
I'm really not, because I haven't reread book two like I intended to yet. So for me, it's like I know what's happened in the TV series up till now. And for me, a lot of the remainder of the story gets all jumbled and mushed up as to which book it's in anyways. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a clear image of book two is from this span of time to, you know, the next span of time. I don't remember where that breaking point is.
Well, and I feel like this is something I've kind of always felt, which is that I don't insist that the adaptation be slavishly exact to what the book did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think in general here, we don't want to have wild story departures necessarily, but certainly changing the order of things or moving things, shifting things around where it doesn't necessarily affect the plot, just changing the order that things are presented in or whatever. I can't help but think that that's going to happen a lot in this series, if for no other reason than, you know, just you have character, you know, actors who are a major part of the cast who might not appear in a huge chunk of the story otherwise.
Right.
And so if you don't shift things around a little bit, you don't have anything for your main actors to do and for a whole season almost.
Yeah, those extra expositional scenes where in the books you can have, you know, you're inside somebody's head, you know, their thoughts, but they can't do that on film.
Yeah.
And it made me think of in George's commentary track, he was mentioning how he has various techniques that are not available on film. So the unreliable narrator, you know, a camera captures everything. It can't be unreliable,
right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah,
I agree. And already there's a couple of things that I've looked for. For instance, there's mysteries that are still going on in the books of trying to word this properly. There's somebody that could or could not be dead, and there are speculations of them being someone else, a different character. And so I was wondering, are they going to answer that by using the same person, or are they, the fact that they have a different actor playing it, does that confirm that it's not that person, or is it just it could still be that person? You know, there's still so many mysteries going on.
I knew they didn't die.
Yeah,
it's and it's, who knows? We won't know until it and that's kind of why, like you, I avoid, you know, all the behind the scenes and this, that, and the other. I don't want to see, you know what I mean? I would rather let it, like, it's like there was a scene that we watched this weekend, and it's a scene where I knew it was coming, and I can't remember what it was, but I literally startled and, like, jumped, and Chooch looked at me like I was crazy because I've read book one 1,000 times, and I've watched it at least episode one at least 4 or 5 times by now, or season one, and it's like there was something that startled me, like, out of my skin, and it's like I didn't even know that was possible, because they like they're so easy to, like, pull me back in to what they want my view of this world to be, and it makes it easy somewhat to forget the world that I've built in my head, because now they're kind of intermeshed. And so I think that last season I finally learned what Christiana has said many times before, I've heard countless times, is that she doesn't need the adaptation to be you know, exactly as the book was, that she enjoys the decisions made that change it subtly. And I actually, this is the first time that I've watched an adaptation that I was able to kind of, after the third or fourth episode, kind of put down my rage that it's not matching my imagination and just really sit back and say, okay, I'm going to trust them with this and kind of write it out.
It's one of the things that, like, Douglas Adams said about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, that it started in a different media and got famous for, you know, a different media. And it absolutely changed every time. There was, you know, criticism of the film that it was different, but he wrote the screenplay.
Yeah.
And said, you know, things just work in different venues and you know, write to the strengths.
Yeah. And he even said that there were changes made in what he submitted as the screenplay.
Yeah.
He didn't know why the changes were made. He just trusted that they were made as would best suit the fit the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, like just a good example of that from, you know, book one is just the fact that in the books, Ghost was supposed to be completely silent.
Right.
And it makes sense in the book. It sounds sort of creepy, this idea of a completely silent giant albino wolf. But in practice, if you show that on screen, it doesn't read as, oh, it's creepy that the wolf is silent. It reads like, why isn't it making any noise? This is weird.
Somebody screwed
up. I still think that was a Foley error. That I think the fact that they gave him noise was a Foley error still. Well, I haven't seen any of the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, they said it's not. They said it is because it was weird without the sound.
Yeah, George said he's not scary.
Oh, okay. Dang. Yeah.
I support that.
Sorry, we totally spoiled that for you.
Spoiled extras.
I support the change because I feel like I agree that it's one thing on the page where we're just told that it makes no sound, that Ghost makes no sound, but on screen you see a wolf there making the growly noise or, you know, the growly face and there's no sound. It's just weird. You feel like, did the sound cut out? Is it on mute? What happened? Yeah.
And if it's on purpose, that's kind of silly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, hopefully,
and then you have to spend the time to explain, oh, well, he called him Ghost because he doesn't make any sound. And then it becomes a whole thing.
Yeah.
You'd have to get in a room with Roz to explain it.
Well, hopefully we won't have as many complaints about me being negative because I've only read Clash of Kings once and then I listened to the audio version of it during the fall. So, you know, hopefully I won't have such a concrete vision in my head that you know, that will go against what HBO does for time and money and everything. So,
Like I said, I mean, I can't help but think that this season is just going to, by necessity, have a lot more things that are different. It almost just has to, I think. Yes. And I'm excited to see what the changes are, as opposed to fearful of them. But I can understand the other things too, because it's possible the change could be for the worse.
Yeah. I just hope they don't go as far off the path that they did with True Blood season 2, because that was bad. But it was okay because now they're two completely separate entities. But I really enjoyed season 1 and I'd like it to be as close but also divergent, if that makes any sense.
You want it to be good.
Yeah, I want it to be good. That's what I want.
I think we're definitely going to have you know, the changes are some of the things we talked about, like, you know, Marjorie Tyrell having more screen time because, you know, her character is important and, you know, and the actress is important. And so, I think it'll work.
There's a couple of other notable characters that I think are largely true with that too. And I guess I'll not name them because I don't want to give, you know, spoilers for this upcoming season, but there's a couple of the major characters from season 1 that if you go strictly just by what the book has, they really don't do anything for most of the season, or at least they don't do it on screen, if you will.
Like, you know, like they're
yes, he doesn't do very much.
This has actually been mentioned on all the intro stuff, so it's not that much of a spoiler, but you know, Jamie doesn't have certainly as much screen time as he did in the first season. So it, you know, what do you do in that respect?
So. I had one little, it was just a quick little tweet that doesn't necessarily need a lot of discussion necessarily, but Professor Brain Fever, who is Villain Corner on Twitter, said, given the appearance of dire wolves and dragons, how long before we get a lion prowling the Red Keep?
I don't know if we can answer that without spoiling anything.
Arya did chase some cats around.
There you go. For some reason, I think I'm missing a piece of feedback, but...
Well, I've copied and pasted the rest of Pat's into the Skype chat to you.
Okay. Yes, so we had an example of the mystery that's sort of lost, which we mentioned last season, was obviously we have the plotting with Varys and Magister Illyrio when Arya's, you know, in the dragon bones and overhears things, but we as the in the book, you don't know who's actually talking, whereas, you know, on the TV show, you know, you see everybody.
Yeah.
So things like that about demystifying.
I can say, by the way, you just reminded me as you read the whole thing. I'm not sure if it's this season, next season, or when, but there is a certain kiss that never happened, but the unreliable narrator later on believes that it actually happened, that I think would be ruined simply because on film we'll see that it doesn't happen. And it'll be interesting how will they portray her believing that it actually happened.
Wow, I've read all these books. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I am lost. non-spoilery. I have no clue what she's talking about.
Yeah, you're so non-spoilery. We don't even know what show you're talking about. You're talking about True Blood Season 2 again, aren't you?
I am.
Anyway.
Bob Newhart show.
Well, like it's well, I can't
spoil. No, just that was
good.
Somebody will understand that, and you're going to have somebody write in and say, I know what you're talking about, Nutty.
I think I know what she's talking about. But anyways, go ahead.
Yes, and Pat wanted to say that he wanted to make a shout-out to his retired, now-retired boss, Bob, who I convinced to watch a television show last season. I got him to listen to the podcast as well, and he's looking forward to season two.
And Bob is cool, and he came to Balticon last year and was at the Ditch by Kate concert.
Right, yes.
He said Bob was a good sport because I mercilessly hounded him for predictions on what he thought was going to happen during the show, and we'd play the good and evil game where I'd make him decide if a specific character was good or evil. He now refuses to humor me. best regards, looking forward to season two. And actually, Pat was the person who actually posted on the website asking about the Eye of Noob feature. And again, Pat, we will be having that again. Matt will be writing those for each episode, hopefully faster than this podcast usually goes out. So
yay. We'll
at least have something to look at while you're waiting for this to come out. I think that was all of the feedback, and we have decided, because we have been talking, even the episode won't be this long, we've been talking for about an hour and a half.
But a lot of that's audio problems, we're hoping.
Yeah, a lot of that's me. But we were going to talk about A Dance with Dragons. We were going to postpone that discussion, and maybe Nutty and Christiana and I will jump in at some point and just do like a 20-minute, you know, recording session, just talking about the, spoiler-heavy discussion of A Dance with Dragons. And, of course, we wouldn't have Chooch and Viv on that because they haven't read the book yet. And so we'll do that at some future time.
Cool.
Again, this Sunday will be episode one, The North Remembers. April 1st. HBO won't be pulling a April Fool's joke. They would be pissing off a lot of people about that.
I think they would find pitchforks and torches outside their offices.
And then we will be recording on Monday, the day after, and we'll try to do a good job on getting the episodes out. I eventually will. I'm hoping to get a Ustream tie-in into this, to do some things with live feedback and different things, but we're going to test that out at some point to get ready for that, because I don't want to try it until I know it's going to work. And considering what tonight has been with Skype cutting out on me, and again, this is probably all my fault, we'll get that set up before we actually get it tested, before we actually do it and have a problem with that. So everybody enjoy the episode on Sunday, and we will meet on Monday. And Viv, do you have the call-in number and everything?
Nope. Well, while you're looking for that, I do have one thing I do want to share before we say goodbye.
Yes, please do.
For those of you who have read all of the books, and I mean all of them, I was a guest host on a podcast of Ice and Fire this Friday, so that episode should be up either shortly or by the end of the week. It is the Girls' Night Out episode, and I warn you, there is a lot of crass humor and crossing of lines and inappropriate things said. But if you want to hear me be completely inappropriate with some other inappropriate people, go take a listen.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun, and we recorded for like over three hours. It was insane.
It's awesome.
And I'm going to listen just to see how we can be more crass and
well,
because I don't like people being more crass than we are.
Recording a girls' night out, that's pretty crass. I got to tell you, I would never have a recorder going on one of my girls' nights out. You're bold, girl. You're bold.
It's a tradition over at their podcast, because they have many hosts, both male and female, and their hosts actually kind of they've been cycling through over the past 4 years. And so they do boys' nights out and girls' night out, and generally it's one or two of the regular hosts, and then they call in people from like Westeros.org, Tower of the Hand, you know, other related sites. And so I got to be on the girls' night out this time.
Very cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
I just went to specficmedia.com, and the contact information is not on the page.
I know. I'm looking for it.
I do have the information. If you would like to send us an email, please send an email to btw@specficmedia.com. Our voicemail number, and I don't have the letter, designations, but it's 619-928-9648, and in the closing credits we'll have all that information in there as well, so it's not that bad that we forgot what it was for the live part. And we look forward to next week and actually talking about the first episode of season 2. Everybody have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time.
If you'd like to send feedback to Beyond the Wall, you can email us at btw@specficmedia.com. That's btw@specficmedia.com. Or you can send us a voicemail at 704-315-5884. Or you can comment on the web. Go to specficmedia.com, and there you'll find a shiny little button to click on that'll take you right to our page. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported License. Feel free to share and remix. Just give us credit and don't charge money for it.
Excuse me.
I need to get the recorder on.
I already have mine on, so that'll be an outtake. Well, hello, and welcome to Season 2, Episode...
Are we started? I love you, Christiana. And then we have a moment from PG Theater.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode...
Hang on, I'm sorry.
Maybe it's just always going to happen when I'm talking.
Sitting here thinking, since we can hear you, you didn't drop off. No, PG, we believe in you. Come on,
have your hand. I love that it's your like vampire steampunk picture that's up. Hear you on and clap that we believe in you. That's just charming. I can't believe I'm applauding that. Sometimes it seems like a good idea to take a picture of your stuffed animal's vagina.
And for some reason, Viv forgets that I record everything.